It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think I tried to look it up, but I think he's around the seventh. He's not in the top five in terms of top five payment numbers, but he certainly has the ability to play at a top five level, especially once the front gets sorted. You know, the back end of the season last year, you saw that defense really get going and get cooking. I think you can really make an argument he's in the top five, but he's not paid like that. So to me, I think that's an exceptional deal.
Gabe Ramirez with you right here on 670 The Score. That was our next guest hanging out with Mark Grody on the clock. And I can't wait to talk to her about not only last Sunday's game, but what to expect from the Bears and the Texans in this upcoming Sunday night matchup. All right, joining us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. She's an NFL Network analytics expert. And of course, you can see Cynthia every Sunday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day morning at 8 a.m. Central Time. And you get to listen to her for the next few minutes here on 670 The Score. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Great to be here.
Yeah, glad to talk to you for the first time. I think we're going to bond well because my degree is in economics.
Oh, there we go.
And so, I didn't get my master's from Northwestern, even though it sounds really cool, though, right, when you get your master's in analytics like that. But I have a feeling I'm a nerd out on numbers, and I'm glad I get to do it with you. Let's start with the game on Sunday. And obviously, you know, people – you know, looking at the stat line, they say, oh, Caleb Williams, and you watch the game and you see first game jitters. But in your mind, when you're looking at rookie quarterbacks, and obviously we've all heard the stats here in Chicago about how poorly they fare in their very first game in the NFL, like overall, just initial thoughts without diving too deep into the numbers on Caleb Williams.
I mean, I think that it was a good outing. I mean, a win is always a good thing, but I think he learned a lot too. It was interesting to see Tennessee's defense came out with some interesting looks to try to confuse him. And the fact that he kind of, like, I feel like I wish I would have had a blood pressure monitor or a heart rate monitor or whatever. Because it felt like he didn't, like, get bothered. He was very unbothered, right? So when you're looking at that, like, that felt good because nothing is going to be easy. Like, this is the National Football League. And I know preseason looked amazing, but you got to kind of, like, pump the brakes and let him have that moment to adjust. Because it's not as easy as it looks for anyone. I mean, there's a reason he's just my colleague David Carr, it's like been 3-14-1 until this weekend, and now it's 4-14-1 for rookie quarterbacks making their first start. So, I mean, my goodness, in week one.
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue in those moments when you think about it. But you say okay, and I think, you know, I was mentioning it earlier, Cynthia, that, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's like, all right, it's Monday. How are we feeling? Because, you know, the game wasn't the greatest, but we won. And I said, no, you're not going to steal my joy on a Monday. Bears got the victory. I was like, I'll talk about bad things when they lose. I've done enough of that for the last couple of seasons. We were talking to Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. You also saw a huge impact with the Bears defense.
Yep.
A lot of people felt exceptionally well, myself included, about the trades they made prior to the beginning of the season just to bolster that defensive line. I mean, how big of an improvement was it, or was this just an outlier of a game from a guy like Darrell Taylor for you?
No, this is a great game by the defense. I don't think it was an outlier at all. In fact, I think this is one of between getting healthier, you know, last season everyone started a little bit banged up, between getting healthier, between Montez Sweat, and then some really keen moves that were made because – despite having two picks in the first nine draft picks, I mean, there were no other, like, it's not like the Bears had this dearth of picks in the draft. So leveraging free agency to find some of those key, I don't want to call them role players because that makes it sound bad, but it's actually like a good thing to be a role player, right? So they found just the right people for the job. So, you know, it was pretty impressive to see it all come together in such an interesting and good way. And, you know, kind of like the paper matched what we saw on the field. Like, it looks good on paper, it looks better on the field.
So when you're looking at the defense, you know, from an outsider's viewpoint, you know, and you look at this D and you're trying to compare it to the other top defenses in the NFL, you hear top five thrown around a lot when it comes to this Bears defense, top 10. But when, sure, when you look at the stats and when you talk about, you know, projecting what this defense could be or should be, where do you have them in the grand scheme of the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, top five makes a whole lot of sense. It's tricky because, you know, these rankings, to me, it's like, are you, I kind of put them into buckets, right? And like, are you like in that bracket that this year will be like, you know, elite or exceptional? And yes, that's what it is. I don't know if it's four teams, five teams, something like that, right? That top five number is really like nominal at that point. But between the special teams and the defense, it is not just playoff caliber, but like top tier, one of the best in the entire NFL. Top five. Let's go with just a kind of an arbitrary number, but you know, whatever is what it is.
No, it makes sense, right? Because if there are eight elite defenses, then a top five, right, is meaningless because there are eight ones that fall into that elite category. In order for them to remain elite and to continue to have that status, it's not only the star players like Jalen Johnson and Montez Sweat that have to play at a high level, but it is the complementary players. You saw Tyreek Stevenson get the pick six. He is a guy where last year people were hesitant to, you know, even though he got the starting role alongside Jalen Johnson, people were hesitant because of, you know, maybe early penalties, but it seems as though he's settled into that role. How important is it to have guys like not only Tyreek Stevenson, but those other complementary players play at a high level in order for the Bears to achieve that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you always need your, like, you know, obviously what he was like 56 overall draft pick. Like, you want those guys to be the ones who perform. You just want to get them right, right? And it's interesting because, you know, you can say that stylistically, maybe he's, you know, he's a bit of a feistier one, right? So that's his play style. So I think what you're doing here is you're saying, okay, like, let's put him in a situation where we can leverage his feistiness so that we get those, you know, the kind of things that we're looking for, you know, four interceptions last season, but like, you know, starting the season off strong with one, interceptions can be a fickle number, but the reality is you just don't want catches caught in their coverage. You just don't want a situation where this guy is, you know, you want to make all defensive backs like in the best position to succeed, and you want them to have different personalities. You want them to, you know, be like a one, be a little bit more charged up, and one, be a little bit more patient. Like that's a great combination for winning.
Yeah, and you're going to need those other personalities. I love how you put that, right? Because when you look at even the safeties for the Chicago Bears with Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Byard, I mean, you have the wily veteran, you have the impactful, you know, safety in Jaquan Brisker, who's you know, a budding star in this league. So you certainly need that. You also need a coach that is capable of calling the proper plays on defense. Obviously, Matt Eberflus in charge of that for the Chicago Bears and managing the game. You saw, Cynthia, that he went for it on fourth down early in the game. Not something, yep, that you might have seen from Coach Eberflus in his first couple of years as a head coach. Do you think this, like, his aggressive game management style is going to be a trend this season?
Yeah, you know, I was reading this book it's the latest Nate Silver book. It's about, like, poker, and you have to bluff every now and again so it keeps your team honest. Like, to be fair, like, I was thinking that, you know, even before this week started, I was like, you know, these teams should go for it earlier on fourth down, earlier in the season, so that when it comes down to the wire, when it comes down to playoff time or these super meaningful games in December, it's like, hey, it's in the back of their mind, like, they could go for it on this. So is this third down really a third down, or is it really like a fake second down, right? So they're going to go for it on the next one. So I like being a little bit of, I mean, use the word random. Like, I like adding randomness into the play calling variability. So it sticks in the mind of your future opponents because they go back and watch the film, right? And if you've never done that, they're far less likely to think you're going to do it. But if you've done it even once or twice, just a couple of times, like, it could keep them guessing.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you also want to give your team that confidence, right? If you do it early in the season, it's a great point. As the season continues and they're, yep, put in that same predicament, well, it's no longer some meaningful, you know, big fourth down that they've,
exactly,
never done throughout the season. No, they've done this several times throughout it. When you're looking at Eberflus, though, I mean, obviously, you know, going into the season, even talking about last season, Cynthia, you know, a lot of people were down on him and how he was handling the team. Got a big vote of confidence from Ryan Poles heading into the season to the point where people thought he could even win Coach of the Year. When you look at Coach Eberflus and, you know, his ability to handle this Chicago Bears team moving forward, how confident in him are you?
Yeah, I mean, it turns out, like, when you have, like, a quarterback that fits the system that you want to run, things are better. And when your defense is healthy and playing, like, you know, it's better. And when all those wide receivers you went out to get are relatively healthy, you know, we can never count on perfect health in this league, but, you know, relatively more healthy. Turns out when you have the better players and you have the better situation and the things that match, then it works out a little better for you.
Yeah, it's so funny how that happens, right? Oh, you have talent. Oh, you have talent, and you're able to do some things.
Oh, yeah.
Makes a big difference. Well, they're going to need that talent on Sunday, Cynthia, when the Bears face the Houston Texans. I mean, you know, Indianapolis doesn't have a shabby defense, right? I mean, we're not talking about somebody that's at the bottom half of the league, but the Texans were able to, you know, really be a juggernaut on offense with their added weapons and Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. Talk about their team and what's different about them this year than last, and specifically, you know, this confidence that they themselves feel like they should go make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, the run game. I mean, watching Joe Mixon actually get going is very helpful because, you know, in a second season, a quarterback that has the type of success that C.J. Stroud had, they're going to get scouted differently. You're going to have special packages to try to stop them. So by adding Joe Mixon and the wrinkle and fold that he brings, at least what we saw him bring this past week, that just gives you an opportunity for C.J. Stroud not to have to do everything. And that's good for a guy who's, you know, there's always that adjustment period after people figure out you're good. You know, oh, he's good. We got to adjust how we play for his play style. So adding the wrinkle of Joe Mixon's wonderful. Adding more pass catchers never hurts anything. You know, it's always their defense that's going to, I want to see the secondary and what happens with their secondary specifically. You know, Stingley was battling an injury. So that's a big difference maker. Every play counts. And especially, you know, obviously we don't have this problem in the NFC, but in the AFC, like all of these quarterbacks in the AFC, it's just the gauntlet. You know, if you think about like the premier 10 quarterbacks in the league, maybe seven of them or six of them all belong in the AFC.
Yeah, and obviously they're going to be trying to lean on C.J. Stroud, and I'm curious how he's going to fare against the Bears defense. You know, just one that's at the top. Just how does that work? Are you going to make, you know, different decision making? It's going to be interesting. But I'm looking at also, you know, the Texans defense, right? I mean, this is a team that has continued to add talent on the defensive side of the ball. Danielle Hunter getting there. Which is crazy on the offseason. But they've struggled against the run historically, the Texans have. Bears didn't necessarily try to establish it against the Titans. Of course, the easy answer is yes, they're going to try to run more on Sunday. But will it be a situation where they're going to need to abandon it because of how good that Texans defense is?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anyone expected the Texans to kind of come out swinging the way they did. The Titans to come out swinging the way they did last week. So the good news is that you don't need it to win, which is very good news. But I think, you know, obviously you're going to always want to try to establish it. If you have to abandon it, feels like you have enough weapons in order to keep the Bears in it at all times. So that's great. A lot of times shorter passes can be a proxy for the run game. But, you know, with the threat of Caleb Williams' arm on every single down, it's going to keep that defense guessing. So As much as, of course, everyone would love to run the ball, control the ball. Ball control is, of course, amazing. But when you don't have it, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world because I think the Bears defense will keep them in it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, you mentioned ball control. The Texans against the Indianapolis Colts, 40 minutes. 40 minutes to 20 minutes. That's insane when you're talking
about that. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You don't need to have a master's in analytics to know that that's a ton. And also, what's not a lot is the amount of rushing yards that Jonathan Taylor had, and that's what scares me a lot, right? With the 16 attempts, 48 yards only. The only other person to touch the ball, Anthony Richardson, who obviously, you know, Caleb Williams, they don't want him scrambling that same way. So again, there's reason for concern when you're looking at this game, but ultimately, what do you think is going to happen? Do you see Caleb Williams having a bounce back game and this thing being closer, or do you see the Texans, you know, continuing to put their foot on the gas and ultimately ending up dominating?
I mean, I think it's closer than people might expect. I do give the edge to Houston, not because of any other thing other than the experience level of all of the sum of the parts that are playing. I'm a little worried with Keenan Allen being slightly banged up. He was on the injury report all last week. And then, of course, with the new MRI situation and our guy Romo Dunze being there, that just creates a small, like, little bit of a little bit less space for the offense to work with. And that little tiny space, I think it's a close game, though. I don't think it's any sort of crazy blowout.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm actually going to that game with my family.
Ooh, fun.
So, you know, I'm going to be tailgating, doing my thing. But the last thing I want to watch is a blowout, Cynthia. That's the last thing.
No, that you're not going to watch a blowout. It's going to be a good one. Like, it's going to be a really fun game. I think it's going to be a good one to watch.
All right, talk to me about this before I let you go. I mean, obviously, you know, you spend a lot of time crunching numbers. Have you ever found a stat that stood out to you to the point where you're like, everyone is viewing this incorrectly? You know, and I'm looking at it through a different lens, and I see it right here. Can you tell me one or two moments like that throughout your professional career?
Sure. I mean, a couple of times, like Patrick Mahomes, right before he became the full-time starter, that one was interesting to me because the thing that it allowed was for the Kansas City Chiefs to have a whole bunch of different looks in their offense ahead of time. So I thought people were like really – you know, everyone, of course, it's easy to go back and be like, everyone's sleeping on Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think I thought he would be who he's turned into. But the versatility in looks for him, that was what really was super impressive. And then I think the other thing that I've been looking a lot at least this year, we'll see if it works going forward. I think like people who can operate efficiently out of 12 personnel, so two tight end sets, I think this season, I think that's going to be a really massive key to the season.
And you know what? The Bears didn't run much of it on Sunday with Everett.
But that's okay. They don't have to. But I think league wide, I think that's going to be like a really big deal.
I love that. All right, that's our variable. That's going to get the one right there if people are actually doing it. And I know you, it has to be annoying, you know, where people are hitting you up for gambling advice, right, all the time because of the analytics.
I don't mind it. I love it. I think all the games are fun.
I know. I could imagine that if somebody's crunching numbers all day, I'd just be like, hey, crunch. Put this in your algorithm, please.
They want to know. I love it.
Well, you know what we love? We love the fact that you were able to give us some of your time and do a deep dive on the Bears. And Cynthia, we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I love Chicago. I'll always come on.
Of course. Cynthia Freeland, make sure you check her out again every Sunday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day Morning. It happens at 8 o'clock Central Time. And I want you guys to be checking that out because she's crunching numbers for you. You ain't even got to do the work. Don't hit up ChatGPT. He gets the numbers wrong sometimes. Hit up Cynthia Freeland. Follow her on social media, too. That'll be great as well. Want to do a little bit of house cleaning while I'm here and remind you guys that 670 The Score and Circus Sports Illinois are teaming up to celebrate the start of football season this Thursday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, and the afternoon show will be doing the shows live from the Lake Street Plaza at the, I'm pretty sure this means the Prudential Building. Yeah, Prudential Building, Lake Street Plaza on the Lake Strike because it's on Lake and Stetson. There will be food trucks, games, and more throughout the day. That's this Thursday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Score and Circus Sports Illinois, kindly thank you for showing up in advance. Want to make sure you guys are there to get all of those prizes. On the other side, I want to circle back, play a little bit of Cubs stuff from yesterday after the victory. Want to play some Craig Counsell for you. And I'll talk about how this Kyle Hendricks felt after the game. And then take a little quick look at the upcoming match against the Dodgers. Again, first pitch right here at 9:10 p.m. on 670 The Score. We'll do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Driving one in the air, deep right field. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Cubs lead 2-0. Welcome back to Dodger Stadium, Cody Bellinger. Wow.
That was a no-doubt home run. And in night games, as you were just saying, you don't get a lot of those here in Dodger Stadium. But with this hot weather, Cody gets this high heater, and he hits this ball two-thirds of the way up the bleachers.
Gabe Ramirez with you here on 670 The Score. That was the beautiful sound, Pat and Ron. Which you can hear again tonight, 9:10 p.m. First pitch, Cubs taking on the Dodgers. Shota Imanaga going to take the bump for the Cubs. You got Yamamoto for the Dodgers. You know, the Cubs yesterday, it was great. It was great. I threw a couple bucks on the game, you know. I have this, should I say this on the radio? Yeah. I use ChatGPT to do predictive analysis for these games. And ChatGPT, when, because I have the paid version. So it's like connected to the internet. So it can, I can make it go find all the metrics. And then what you do is you can train your ChatGPT to do things, like whatever you want. And so I've got it to like, okay, well, look for this, and then find that, and find this, and then find that. And then I dubbed that once it refined it and critiqued it and find it and critiqued it. And once it's done that, then I tell it, all right, now we are going to call this, what we've done up until this point, the Ramirez factor. Seriously, this is what I did. We're calling it the Ramirez factor. And now every time I ask you for a game, I want you, and I want to call for it using the Ramirez factor. And you're going to then spit out best bets of the day. Odd, I know. I don't use it all the time. But so last night it said Cubs, Dodgers over. Over under was sitting at 10. 10. If you gamble, you draw a black line through anything that has a 10 on it. Because you're just like, no, I'd rather go find a different game instead of sweating 10 runs. But I call him Chap. This is what I call him, C-H-A-P. Chap told me distinctively that that was the best bet of the day. Okay, laid it down.
So you went with Chap.
I go with Chap more often than I go with myself. I fade myself is what I do, especially when Chap tells me to do that. But anyway, he said that Buehler would struggle because he's coming back from injury, that Kyle Hendricks would give up some runs as well. He mentioned that, you know, Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts would, you know, get their hits, but that's an easy prediction right there. But the game was, you know, it was a good one, man. I mean, again, you're looking at the game and you're saying to yourself, you know, offense clicked early. It's what you ultimately want for this Cubs team. You know, they still have a 3% chance to make the playoffs. I'm optimistic because I said they would maybe like 3 weeks ago. So I'm still holding on to that 3%, unlike most Cubs fans. But there's still things to look at when assessing this team. And Craig Counsell did that yesterday in the post game. And, you know, he looked at one particular moment for the offense that he felt was, you know, a good sign.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the opposite field home run was probably the, you know, the swing that's impressive. You know, that ball's hard, well hit, and to the other way. And I think it's probably something, if there's anything that he hasn't done this year that we're a little surprised maybe, is the opposite field power. I think he's got that in him, and I think we'll see that come eventually. So it was good to see him tonight.
Yeah, Michael Busch just, you know, doing a good job for the Cubs as of late. I mean, they were searching for offense. And there was a point where he was hitting leadoff for a while for the Cubs this season. So to see him come in last night, go 4 for 5, 3 runs, 3 RBIs, obviously the Oppo homer. I mean, just super impressive, especially when he comes in to, you know, play first. They're moving people around there. So it was great. Great to see. Cody Bellinger obviously got busy in the first. You heard Ron Coomer, who is just an absolute pleasure to work with. I did pre and post for the Cubs last week a couple times. And one of them was at Wrigley on Labor Day. It was me, Ron, and Zach Zaidman. And just, he's a joy. I'll tell you this. I mean, obviously you don't get to see it because you hear him on the radio when he gets interviewed or whenever you don't get the personal stuff. I mean, just one, extremely positive. And I'm talking about, you know, I wouldn't say this if it was like a little bit of positivity or if he was like, something else, you know what I mean? So I'm telling you, this it was just like so positive, so nice, and he just got it. People were coming into the booth, you know, just random people getting brought in, like, hey, this is the Pat and Ron booth. And he turns around, made everybody feel like $1 million, talking to kids. It's just great. Such a nice guy. But as he mentioned, Cody Bellinger coming back to the Dodger Stadium and getting that big hit. I mean, and obviously it felt good. He thought it felt good. And he talked on the Marquee Network to Taylor McGregor about what it felt like hitting that homer off of Walker Buehler.
I haven't seen a smile that big all the way around the bases in a while. What did that one mean to you?
Yeah, you know, it was just, you know, it felt good, and Walker's my boy, so it was my first at-bat off him, so it was a good time. I mean, yeah, we're raking on the road, huh? So we got two more here. We go up to Colorado, so hopefully we can keep it rolling.
And that's also ultimately what the Cubs want to do, keep it rolling. Walker Buehler, that was hilarious, though. You know, he missed some time in the middle of the season, late June, all of July, a little bit of August. And then since coming back, I mean, the game against the Cubs was his longest outing, where in each of those starts, he'd given up 3-3, 2-2, 5 earned runs. Striking out people still, but man, they need him. This is one of those rehab starts in real time for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, A47 says, I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. The Cubs are not going to the wild card playoff. I'm being realistic. I understand. Cubs fans this year are eerily similar to how I was last year, where last year I felt the reality was Cubs weren't going to make the playoffs. And most Cubs fans were like, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and like, dude, we're close. We're going. Including my guy Speaks. And then this year I felt like we swapped because of the emotional damage that Cubs suffered last season. They're not allowing themselves, like they're looking at it through a different lens, which is great. But I want, you know, the meatball Cubby fans out here thinking that they're still going to make. Why do I got to carry that torch for you?
So last year when it was like 95% that they were going to make the playoffs, you're like, ah, not sure. And you were right.
This you year, remember, you were producing my shows. You remember this?
Yeah. So this year it's like 3%. You're like, what are you talking about? They got a chance.
You
Come
know
on.
What it was? Well, I thought it was a couple weeks ago when the percentages were a bit higher and the Cubs were getting hot against those bad teams for those 2 weeks. And again, you're going to eventually, right? You're going to show who you ultimately are throughout the course of 162 games. You're going to go on streaks where you win a bunch. And you're going to lose a bunch. That is going to happen. But then there are those games where you show your fan base, the league, yourself, who you truly are. And I thought the winning streak over the course of those couple of weeks was balancing the Cubs out to where then they would be given the opportunity to show who they were against the teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. But, you know, they're 5 games out right now. I mean, look, the Mets were able to leapfrog the Atlanta Braves. No one thought that was possible when I was throwing out the Cubs being able to sneak into the wild card. Like, dude, those are locked. Padres, Diamondbacks, Braves, none of those guys are losing. Well, the Mets are in that spot right now, right? So, again, it's tough. And again, I want to be optimistic because I also have been watching baseball long enough and have seen enough teams get hot the way the Cubs were starting to start the fire. And ride that wave into the playoffs. So I'm not trying to. I guess I'm sounding a bit defensive, but I'm merely trying to explain why the optimism was there for the Chicago Cubs. And you did you hear Cody's voice during that interview? You would have thought you were talking to a guy that was in the playoff hunt right there. He was sounding super super ecstatic about everything there. But Kyle Hendricks, you know, obviously thrown into that situation. Justin Steele going to the IR with the arm issue. Kyle Hendricks, after on that day that I've filled in for Zach Zabin to do pre and post Labor Day, Craig Counsell mentioned that Kyle Hendricks would be available in the bullpen starting that day. And then that very night, he says, oh, actually, no, Steele got some tight arm, forearm tightness. Kyle Hendricks is going to be the starter. But Kyle Hendricks last night goes 4 1/3. I mean, this is what you ultimately want from Kyle Hendricks. 4 1/3, 2 earned runs, 2 strikeouts. You know, gave up 4 hits, walked 4, worked around it because that's what he does. But he spoke last night and talked about what it was like facing that Dodgers lineup.
Just a really tough lineup, obviously, top to bottom. The top three are obviously that good, but it's just a long lineup, too, once you get past them. So Miggy was locked in, to be honest. He was so good tonight with the pitch calling. Just could have done a little bit better job attacking second and third time through. They were really aggressive the first time and then got a little bit more selective. So just could have done a better job. You know, being aggressive, especially with the guys getting a 4-0 lead there, But what can you say about just a whole team effort? I mean, every single at bat, the amount of two strike hits, adding on to the lead, bullpen coming in, Keegs was unbelievable. The rest of the guys covering that many innings, some unbelievable plays on defense. Just a, all around, just a really good game for us.
I love Kyle Hendricks when he says things like that. Ultimate team player. And then he says things like, I'm just glad I still have a job. And then you just go out and pitch against the Dodgers and go 4 1/3. But he mentioned Keegan Thompson, who came in for him, pitched an inning and 2/3. But, you know, Kyle Hendricks is a fan.
Just limiting, obviously, when he came in there. I put him in a real tough position, bases loaded. To limit that to just one, get Smith and get out of it. And then huge getting that double play and getting out of that next inning, giving us some length. He was nasty tonight, making some really good pitches. It's fun to see.
And you love it when your pitchers can not only, you know, lift up your guys, but appreciate greatness when it happens. Keegan Thompson getting the win yesterday. Again, going 1 1/3, gave up 2 hits, had that strikeout. Drew Smiley comes in, a little shaky at the moment, but you'd expect that from the Dodgers. They're not going to keep him quiet for the entire game. Sean Armstrong came in to wrap up that inning. Tyson Miller gave one, and then Ethan Roberts got that one as well, got another inning as well. So, yeah, bullpen has been strong. That we do know that. Again, it's one of those things where you look at the team and you look at the lineup and you say this is a competitive team, and that it is. But how competitive is the question, and what most people struggle with. And Kyle Hendricks understands the position that the Cubs are in and ultimately what they need to do.
We know we got to pile up some wins. So it's one day at a time, though. Can't win 3 games or 4 games in one day. So you come in every single day, and we know what our focus is. We know it's a short stretch here. So, yeah, just giving it everything we got. We know if we play to our potential, like today, all-around good team game, anything can happen. So just trying to put that together every single day right now.
Yeah, and today starts anew, right? Shota Imanaga going up against Yamamoto today. Lineup for the Cubs, Ian Happ staying in that one spot. Dansby Swanson moved up to the 2. You got Seiya Suzuki at 3. Cody back at 4 playing right field. Seiya in the DH spot, as we know. Isak Paredes, third base. Michael Busch back at the 6. Nico Horner at 7. I mean, it's great. It's great to see consistency in the lineup. It makes you feel good as a fan or as someone that covers the team, I should say. Ooh. I was talking about two different sets of people. Fans and then me covering the team. Just want to be clear with the verbiage there. But I do like seeing consistency there, because then you know what you're getting yourself into. Dodgers throwing out Shohei Ohtani at the lead with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Of course, that trio that Kyle Hendricks was talking about there. Tommy Edman going to be playing center field today. Andy Pages, Miguel Rojas, Max Muncy, Enrique Hernandez, the Boricua, and then Austin Barnes going to be catching today for the Cubs. It's going to be a tough one. The over-under in this one, like I mentioned, is at 8. If you're thinking, I think it's going to be a pitcher's duel.
Let me know what Chap says.
Trust me, I haven't run the numbers yet. I could do it during the commercial break and let you know what he says afterwards. I'll give you a full Chap breakdown of what he thinks.
A Chap freebie?
A Chap freebie. I can give it to you on the other side. But, you know, that is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you that, but I also want to circle back on some stuff I want to talk about at the Chicago Bears. Specifically when it comes to this team, because they are a tad bit frustrating. I do want to talk about what Caleb Williams said that he learned after this game and what he thinks of this personality of this Bears team. So I'll tell you what Chap says on this game tonight, and then I'll play some Caleb Williams for you as well before we get to Andy Martinez at 8 p.m. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
On third down and 6, here they come. Gordon's coming. Levis gets wrapped up, flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play.
Which member of the Chicago Bears was extremely excited to watch that Bears defense play? I'll let you know in just a second. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Glad to be hanging out with you guys. Don't forget, Cubs baseball begins at 9:10 p.m. first pitch. Pre-game begins at 8:35. Zach Zaman got the call there. I'm leading you right into that. I got Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network hanging out at 8 o'clock to talk some more Cubs baseball. I do want to let you know what Chap said for those of you that have been following along. And I'm just trying to tell you, this is really good, guys. All right, first it said, and this is when I tend to make the bet. It said the under should be at 7.5. And the over-under is at 8 right now, right? So it lets you know that says both pitchers excel at limiting damage. And
The marine layer should suppress home runs. Yamamoto's ground ball rate, along with Imanaga's ability to limit walks and keep the ball in the park, supports this bet. Add to this that the Dodgers bullpen is extremely strong, suggesting a low-scoring game. Oh, you like how Chap talks, huh?
So Chap realized it was scorching last night. He's like, oh, the ball's going to be flying out.
But there's more.
Okay. I'm going to let Chap talk.
That was just the first one. First five innings, under 3.5 runs. I'm just letting you know what Chap is telling me. It says both Imanaga and Yamamoto have been effective early in games. Yamamoto sporting a 2.10 ERA in the first five innings. The Cubs struggled to score early against lead pitching, further reinforcing this pick. So here's what I do. So I listen. I and then the third one is Dodgers money line. It says although Cubs 1.5 run line is enticing, the Dodgers bullpen and Yamamoto's elite form give the edge in a close game, while Imanaga keep it competitive. The Dodgers strong overall pitching staff suggests they should pull ahead late. So I look at those and then I say to myself, all right, which one makes the most sense to me? Well, damn, the over-under is 8. I do think Imanaga and Yamamoto, you know, I do think that's going to happen. But first five innings, under 3.5, now that sounds smart. And then I go and I go crazy on that bet. And then I sprinkle on everything else. Just so you guys know, don't, and this is not gambling advice, and I'm not telling you to bet money. I'm just telling you what I have created and I am very proud of. All right, so what I also have created is a ridiculous amount of love for my Chicago Bears team, specifically Caleb Williams, who, of course, he is the player I'm talking about that was excited to watch this Bears defense on Sunday.
Yeah, Keenan and all of us, we always say that, you know, we can't wait to watch these guys go out there because we know how good they are. We can't wait to watch these guys go out here and, you know, do their thing. And obviously it shows, you know, the brotherhood bond that they have, they've built over the past couple of years. The guys have been playing here, and obviously a couple of the new guys, Ryan Poles and Coach, and everybody's done a great job getting all these guys here. But, you know, the guys go out there and execute the way they do and the way they did. We couldn't wait, and, you know, it shows you all their hard work that they put in.
It's cool when you see things like that because, of course, Keenan Allen understands how important and valuable a good defense can be. He's had a pretty good defense on the Chargers with Mac and Bosa. And then, you know, DJ Moore, he's been on the Panthers. They had an all right defense, and then he comes here, and I'm sure that – so it's cool to watch them marvel at it, right? Because the assumption there is they've been playing each other in training camp, and the offense is like, they've been killing us. I can't wait till they go up against the regular team. They're going to destroy them. And then, you know, all eyes on the field, which was great. You know, Caleb, after a game like that, which everyone's been focusing in, like just talking about the team aspect of it, right? Like, oh, this is a good team victory. This is great. But Caleb talked about what he learned about the team after a game like the one they had on Sunday.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch the film, obviously, and you know, figure that out. But on a deeper level. But first and foremost is just keep fighting. Understand that the team that I have here with me, you know, right in this battle, right in this journey with me, is the first thing I learned, and they're unbelievable. And then secondly, I would say getting back in the lab, getting back with the guys, mainly the wide receivers, tight ends, all these other guys, just to make sure that, you know, we're on the same page at the end of the week, making sure that, you know, we go out there and, you know, when we have these chances when they want to go cover zero, that we make them pay. And, you know, we didn't do that today, but we're going to get better in the future and the near future. So thank you, and go Bears.
Got to go Bears, always, always, always. Of course, talking about, you know, learning to keep fighting, which is important. I think a lot in a game like that, right, especially for a rookie quarterback, you can get down on yourself quickly. I mean, there were moments during the game where it looked Justin Fields against the Cleveland Browns-ish. Happy feet, anticipating a pass rush as opposed to focusing on what's in front of you. A lot of stare downs on the primary receiver. Saw it far too often. You know, even Coach Wansett talked about, you know, he wasn't concerned about the batted balls because I'm sure that'll change and they'll drum things up a little bit differently, but no, this team has personality. That's for sure. And Caleb Williams noticed that.
No, I have. It was not too far down the road.
I hate that you bring it up, but no, it wasn't UCLA. Kind of same defense, but not UCLA. It was the green and gold team, or blue and gold team that Cole Kmet plays for or played for. But it was a frustrating game. But the most important thing is that, and it shows a bunch of the personality of this team, I would say. The fight, the resiliency that we had, like when Coach got into the locker room, he got into the locker room and first thing he said was, you know, guys, we don't, you know, this past how much ever time that we had, when we got into the locker room, I think it was around 15 minutes, we got in there and Coach was like, guys, the most teams that I've been on, all these other things, y'all walked in here and said to each other that, you know, we're not going to lose this game. We're going to go out there. We're going to keep fighting. We got this. And we weren't shaming on anybody. We weren't, you know, defense not, you know, being on offense, all these other things. So, you know, it shows his personality, how much everybody believes in ourselves, the Chicago Bears. Defense believes in offense. Offense believes in defense, special teams, and so forth. And so, we're great to get this win. Happy to get this win. Celebrating the locker room. It was pretty cool. First time celebrating in here.
The interesting thing about that is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. The interesting thing about it is he mentions that, you know, he doesn't go into this rant about how he has to be better. Right? If you say it, you don't live there. Yeah, I know. It's just, I gotta be better, right? He talks about the level of believability in the locker room. And it's because the defense has already seen the offense perform at a high level. The defense has seen the offense be exciting and electric. So when you get into that locker room and you're down X amount of points and you say, hey, we got this. We're good. We're going to do our job. Offense, hey, look over here. We're going to do our job. And I know you guys are going to handle business. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Bears pull out the victory. And, of course, they're going to need much more on Sunday to get the next one against the Houston Texans. Somebody in the 708 said, I would love to get a masterclass on Gabe's on how to use ChatGPT. By all means, you can follow me on social media, Chicago_Gabe. I do post up all my stuff out there. But you mentioned the Bears podcast as well. Believe in Bears, BLEAV. Believe in Bears. It's me, Marshall Harris, who's always on 670 The Score, 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor, who's always on 670 The Score. The three of us have come together to do that podcast. We just released one the other day, and we got one coming up later this week. We do two a week. So make sure you guys check that out. All right, coming up, not on the podcast, Andy Martinez, because he talks about Cubs. Which maybe we'll do one of those as well. I'm sure he does have his own podcast. I'm going to ask about that. But more importantly, I'm going to ask him about what he thinks about tonight's game against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network joins us next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.